Amen. Well, good evening. It's a blessing to be back with y'all. I thank the Lord for having a good sending church. And I count it a privilege to be a part of Madison Baptist Church. And it's a privilege. And it's not because we're a great church. It's because we're a church that has a great God. Amen. God's been so good to us. He has been so good to us. And what a blessing to see each one of you here tonight. I'd like to thank you for your prayers for Daniel. A few of you have been asking about Bob's, well, it's one of the twins. And he had a little accident with a pellet gun. One of his older brother accidentally shot him in the head. And the pellet was lodged there in his head. But praise the Lord, he didn't get any crazier. He's crazy, but it didn't affect him. The doctor said, and they left it in, said it would be better if it was left in. They're going to, Lord willing, following Wednesday, going to have another CAT scan done just to make sure that everything's fine. But the doctor said that he was free to play, not to restrict him in any way. So he said that if he did bump it, it wouldn't cause any damage. So I thank you so much for your prayers. Continue to pray for God's protection on us down there, if you would. And it's always exciting. There's never a dull moment. I'll tell you, even coming back to the States, it's exciting. And I sure do love immigration, I'll tell you. Some of my best friends, I think. if you would, please pray for us. We, as you know, my wife is being Brazilian. She has a green card. We've done everything legally. But in order to have a green card, you for some reason have to live in the States. And we don't fulfill that requirement being missionaries. Although we do have the authorization from immigration to maintain her residency in the United States, they don't appreciate the fact that we're out of the country for almost every year. So if you would, please pray for us. We did receive a warning, and they said that next time if we come through, we might have some problems. But if we do come through, we need to make sure that we come back to live. So we're going to be coming back, Lord willing, next year for furlough. And so during that time, I believe with the paper that we have maintaining her residency, she will already be eligible for citizenship. So, Lord willing, during that time as we visit our churches, we'll work on that and get that situated. Once that's done, then we'll go and come and not have any problems. So if you would, please continue to pray for us. I would appreciate that. And I thank you so much for your prayers. And what a blessing to be on the field, but know that we have people here that pray for us. And thank you so much for sending the young people down. And it's a blessing to see them again. Blessed to see Tim and Ingrid. Boy, they are missed, I'll tell you. They're greatly missed down there. Everybody's asking about them. And I'm not sure. I think it's more Joshua than actually them. But they've been a great blessing. They've been a great blessing. Everybody's anxious to meet the little girl, the little baby. Amen. But thank you so much. If you would, please open your Bibles to James chapter 4 with me. I'd like to preach on something, and as I preach this, I'm preaching to myself. I'd like to preach on something tonight that everyone has but you. Something that proceeds out of the heart, something that precedes shame and destruction, something that will bring a man, a church, and a nation low. If you would, James chapter 4, and those of you that can, please stand for the initial reading of God's Word. James chapter 4, I'd like to start with verse number 4 and read down through verse number 10. The Bible says this, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your Bible. Lord, thank you for it being the truth. Lord, it endures from generation to generation. Lord, the same word that I'm preaching today has been preached for many years, and God will be preached if you tarry many years after I'm gone. Lord, thank you for the surety of your word. Please help us now as a people that we might hear the message you have for us. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd fill me. Lord, speak to our hearts. Make us more like Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I got to thinking about this, and I'd like to preach on pride, the silent killer. Pride, the silent killer. You know, sometimes things creep up in our life and we don't notice it. The thing that got me to thinking about it, besides my Bible reading, I was in choir practice and down in Brazil. You know, a lot of things happen in choir practice. It's amazing. The things that happen in choir practice. And so we had we practiced sitting in on the benches and the chairs. And then after everything's kind of fine-tuned, we just go up and stand in our positions. We don't have the choir behind the pulpit there, but we go up and we stand and we just fine-tune everything and we're ready for the evening service. Well, I participate in the choir and I was singing bass we practiced right after the morning service, so it was one morning. And I was up there, we had typed up the words, and everyone had the words. And we had gotten used to singing it wrong. But with the typed up words, the words were right. And so I got to singing down through there, and the first time I sang down through there, I sang it wrong. I sang it wrong. But then the second time, I noticed that it was wrong, and I purposely read those words right. And then we got a young man in our church. He's probably about 22 years old, standing in front of me. And he looked back at me, and after we had finished, he said, Preacher, he said, the words are these. And I thought, I just about said, that's what I sang. And I thought the audacity of him correcting me. I mean, now, let me tell you, I'm an American. All right? The American way is the right way. No, actually, God's way is the right way. Not always the American way is the right way. And I bit my tongue right before I said, thank you. And I thought, man, how wicked our heart is. You know, here I just about jumped on a young man who was, he was just concerned that his pastor sang the right words. He was caring for his pastor. You know, we don't notice, but it's easy to spot it in other people. And many times we think that everyone else's problem is pride. But if we're not careful, it creeps up in our lives. I'd like to mention three things tonight, and I've got 3 points. I don't plan to be long, but things that pride does in our lives that hinders our service to God. First of all, pride distorts reality. Pride distorts reality. Friends, you see, everything we are, everything we have, everything that we have accomplished, we owe that to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We owe that to our God. Open with me and turn over to Psalms 89, if you will, please. Psalms 89. Notice verses 6 through 18 with me. Psalm 89, verses 6 through 18. The Bible says, for who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, that shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in their favor our horn shall be exalted. Friends, the psalmist here is stating the magnitude and glory of our God. You know, many times we forget exactly who we are and exactly who God is. It's so easy to do. You know, at the beginning, you remember when you got saved and you started walking with God and you started learning about what God wanted you to do? And you were excited about that and you started growing and you started serving Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Many of you were saved later on in life. And that life that you lived previously, you knew once you were saved, that was the wrong kind of life. And you get going for the Lord. And you admire God for who He is and what He's done. But if we're not careful, we start trusting more on the years that we have walked with God. And we start looking around, and as a people, we are a good people. We look at our church and we're a good church. We have standards. We have missionaries. We have programs going on. We have things for our teens. We have things for our children. We have a great mission conference. We bring in tons of kids during VBS, and we're a good people. But friends, listen, all we are is due to our great God. The psalmist, he declares God's greatness. But you see, in pride, it starts distorting our view to where we start considering ourselves a good people. And friends, listen, we ought to be a grateful people. You know, a lot of people, I'm proud to be an American. Listen, I'm grateful to be an American. And I'm thankful. I don't believe that there is any country like ours, but at the same time, I do say that. It should be said with great humility. For you realize that the greatness of our country is not because we're great, but it's because our founding fathers believed in a great God and they sought to live according to their beliefs. Unfortunately, today we're getting further and further and further away from that. You see, God alone is the creator of heaven and earth. You know what? I was coming back Friday night. I was coming back with the Moores and spent a great time with them. And I appreciate every single one of you that I don't understand why, but want to take us out. See, I think it's just to hear me eat, I believe. But what a blessing each and every one of you have been to us. Thank you so much for your love and your kindness. We were driving back, and all of a sudden, I'm not sure, perhaps you all noticed it also. Do you see the beautiful moon Friday night? You see, I mean, it was huge. And guess what? God did that. Amen. You know, He didn't ask me. Brother Charlie, what do you think tonight? What size should I put them in? Hey, He didn't ask me that. He didn't ask me anything. Why? Because He's God. He's God. And listen, friends, the heaven declare His glory. He gives me the privilege to look at that and admire it and say, wow, what a God. What a privilege. But you see, it's Him. It's not us. Pride distorts reality. Second fact, God alone is sovereign. God sets up kings and takes down kings. Notice, and Nebuchadnezzar was one that found that out quickly. Daniel chapter 4, if you would. I'm sure everyone knows the story. We will not take time to read the whole story. But as you know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and it troubled him. He called for finally for Daniel. Daniel interpreted his dream. Nebuchadnezzar's problem was he was lifted up in his pride because of all the great kingdom God had given to him. Notice verse 24. This is the interpretation. This is Daniel speaking. O king, which this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and thou shalt make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let counsel be accepted unto thee, Let my counsel, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. You see, it didn't come the next day. It didn't come the next month. 12 months later, all of a sudden he steps out. Notice what he says here. The Bible says, verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, therefore fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from me. And they shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling, and it continues on down. And you all know the story. He was an outcast for 7 years from society. Friends, what does that tell us? Listen, God is sovereign. God can exalt us and God can bring us down. He will humble the proud. That's what the Bible says. There's a danger in walking pridefully. It's a silent killer. We don't realize it. How many times I've seen great families with great kids. And if we're not careful, we start considering that our knowledge of what the Bible says, we start exalting our knowledge above God's knowledge. And we get prideful about our kids. And friends, listen, you want to ruin your kids, you get proud about what God's done in your life. You get proud about how God is using your kids, and you will ruin your family. I promise you. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Don't be proud about what God's done. Listen, whenever somebody comes up to you and says, brother, I sure do appreciate it, reflect that glory back to him. Listen, you don't deserve that. And if somebody saw a reflection of Jesus Christ through your life, just give it back to him. Why? Because we're not worthy of honor or glory. If God could use us to be a good testimony, listen, it's not because of me, it's not because of you, it's not because of this great church, but it's because of our great God. Be careful, because pride distorts reality. You see, Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was great. He thought that everything that he had created for his glory, his honor, his kingdom, and but it wasn't. It wasn't. And God immediately, after the time was fulfilled, removed him. And for 7 years, notice what he declared, verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the Lord, and none can stay his hand. Or saith unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Friends, listen, be careful. Be careful of that silent killer. I believe and I trust, and we should all be seeking to walk humbly before him. But whenever you see it creeping into your life, then humble yourself before God. Ask him, God, would you please exalt your name in my life? If it means just tripping over, you know, sometimes just a mere little trip will do great to knock that pride right out of you. You ever seen this happen to me? My goodness, has it ever happened to me? You're walking down the road and all of a sudden you hit that sidewalk. And I know y'all don't have them here, but in Brazil, the sidewalks are, you know, they're all kinds of different levels, and it actually helps with the exercise. You know, and you got to pay close attention, because if you don't, you'll stumble. And man, you hit that, and the first thing you do, look around. And boy, if somebody's snickering, you just try to act like nothing happened. Why? Why can't you laugh? Why can't you just have Just about. But praise the Lord, didn't. Listen, small things, simple things, preferring others also does a great thing. First of all, God alone, pride distorts reality. The first fact, God alone is the creator. God alone is sovereign. Pride causes us to think that we're something when actually the only thing we have good in us is our God. Pride causes us to think, as I just stated, we're something when we're nothing. Galatians, Galatians, capítulo 6, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Notice in verse 3 and 4, after having instructed about when someone's overtaken in a fault, he states here in verse 3, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." You see, we should be careful about considering ourselves to be something. You know, I trust that each family in here believes that you got the greatest kids in the world. I thank the Lord for our girls, and kind of partial to them, little. Both of them. It was a couple days before we came, and we were trying to get things situated, and they were in the bedroom. And so, girls, you know, you need to come out and get your stuff organized and get ready. And they were in there making letters. I didn't realize, but they made a letter for every single day that we're here. And they put it, you know, please read on Thursday. Please read on Friday. Please read on Saturday. Please read on Sunday. And they just went down, and today they were, I think it was my Lisa, my oldest one. She has wrote something about you're never too far when you're in one's dreams and you're in one's heart, something like that. I'm thinking, where in the world did she get that stuff? Good night. You know, it's precious. That's sweet. I love those girls. But listen, I don't have anything to glory in. Nothing whatsoever. You see, I can remember when I was single, and I was praying that God would give me a wife. My answer to prayer is right down here on the front row. Prayed that God would give us kids if He would see fit. He gave us two little daughters, precious daughters. And friends, listen. I've got to teach those girls about my great God. I've got to make sure that they understand how He alone is worthy to be served. I've got to teach them to walk humbly before God and to listen to their authority. Listen to those that God has placed in their lives. If not, their view will become distorted of reality. They'll get puffed up about, well, bless God, my dad's been a missionary for umpteen years. Well, I'm American. Listen, I'm sorry. It's not what nationality you are. I'm dead serious. And sometimes I think as Americans, we've got this view that we're just God's blessing to this world. I'll tell you what, it's not us. It's our God. Us Americans mess things up pretty well. If we don't remember and we seek to yield ourselves to God, and then God works through us and uses us for His honor and for His glory. First of all, pride distorts reality. Second of all, pride destroys relationships. You see, pride causes us to think that we know better than God. So where do you get that, Brother Charlie? Does everyone remember the story of Saul? Do you remember Israel's first king? Turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10, if you would. We've got numerous verses. For example, Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 16, 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 29, 23, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Notice with me 1 Samuel, and I'll get to it here shortly, chapter 10, we find Saul, he's already been anointed king in verse number 13. He's being presented to Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 10, In verse number 13, I say 13, it's verse 20. And Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near. The tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near to their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Did I say the wrong reference? Everyone with me? Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 22 is where I'll continue reading. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he had stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. See, this was a great day in the life of Saul, but Saul didn't consider himself worthy of that position. You see, whenever he was meant to be there, they had to go fetch him. And God was the one that told him, hey, he's out there. He's hiding. He's hiding. Go get him. So they go and they bring him. He was humble. If you'll read the next chapters, you'll see how the Spirit of God came down and moved upon Saul. And there was great victories that were wrought for God's glory. You get over to chapter 15 and we find him here in which he was ordered by God to destroy the Amalekites. Verses 1 through 3, chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. Samuel said also said unto Saul, the Lord hath sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the word of the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek utterly, destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both men and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And so if you continue the reading, you know that Saul went. There's a little problem. When he comes back and he tells Samuel, listen, we fulfilled. I've done all the words of the Lord. All of a sudden, Samuel asks him, what's that bleating that I hear? The bleating of the sheep and the mooing of the cattle. What is that? He said, you got to understand. What we brought back is because we want to sacrifice to our God. We fulfilled what God asked us. Samuel said, no, that's not right. Something's not right. Because God said to destroy it. No, but you know what? We think. We think that God is going to love what we brought back. You just wait till we sacrifice. And Samuel said, there ain't going to be no sacrifice. There's no way in the world that's going to be killed. Why? Because that was not what God wanted to do. Now, friends, listen. The relationship, the Bible says, notice, and notice what he says here. Samuel, verse 16, Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way of the Lord. The Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, and he was continuously blaming the people. Notice verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, friends, listen, Saul's problem was that he was lifted up. He got to a point to where he thought, that he knew better than what God said. He knew better than the way that God had required that he kill. No, I'll just change it. I'll do better than that. Friends, you can't improve on God's Word. Amen. There's a reason why he put it in the Bible. There's a reason for it. It's because that's what he wants done. Well, how many times we act just like Saul? God man's preaches the Word. God's man preaches the Word of God plainly. You know what we do? We go back home. We kind of have a committee. Talk with the wife. Talk with the children. What do we think about that message that was brought? Do you think that, well, I'll tell you, that's going to cramp our lifestyle just a little bit? Well, I'll tell you, let's just keep on going because he's a good preacher. But I'll tell you, we'll just go, but we're not going to heed that part of God's Word. Friends, what a shame. What a shame. And I'll tell you what, his relationship with God was destroyed. From then on, you see a man that was continually fighting against God's anointed. Continuously. And you see Saul's end was a terrible and tragic end. Why? Because he was lifted up in pride. Listen, pride destroys relationships. Friends, don't allow pride in your life. Whenever a preacher preaches the Word of God and he steps on your toes, listen, it might hurt, but listen to it. Take it home and chew on it. And purpose in your heart that God's Word will be obeyed in our house. And kids, we're going to do right. Amen. Oh, but I've got other friends that don't care about it. Hey, listen, we're not accountable for the other kids. That is accountable for our house. Amen. And by God's grace, we are going to do right. Amen. Well, bless God, who made the preacher the Pope, right? Well, he just thinks, now listen, he's got a great responsibility to instruct us as sheep in what the Word of God says. And every single message I've heard pastor preach, sometimes I get on and I download the sermons. I want to listen to my pastor preaching. I love listening to my pastor preach. I want to hear. Why? Because he's my pastor. I want to make sure that my girls realize, listen, we've got a pastor. And it's important. And it's important that we obey the man of God. Because the man of God tells us what God says. Friends, listen, don't let pride, twist and turn and ruin your family just because you didn't seem to appreciate or you considered that your knowledge was better than God's knowledge. Now, I believe, and even Paul, he invited everyone to follow him as long as he was following Christ. Friends, listen. Every message that I've heard Pastor Allison preach, he always points us towards Christ. He wants to exalt the Savior, and he's done it. He's been faithful to do that. We need to listen to Pastor. We need to listen. And friends, not only we personally will benefit, our families and our church will benefit from it. You see, pride destroys relationships. Disobedience. Saul disobeyed, and his relationship with God was destroyed. Of course, he could have repented. We see then after that he got bitter about it and whatnot, and so terrible. Notice in the New Testament an example of someone considering self-righteous. Luke chapter 18, we find our Lord and Savior. Here he teaches a parable. He brings a parable about a man that considered himself righteous. Notice Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 8. Verse 9, he says, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. What is that? That's pride. They considered themselves, they trusted themselves, despising others. They thought they were really good. Notice what he says here. He says, the publican, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'll tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, if we as a church walk in humility, it'll do wonders in our church. If we'll humble ourselves one to another. You know, the Bible says we're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. When was the last time you humbled yourself to your brother or sister? You preferred them in honor. Some of us get upset when somebody sits on our pew. We do. Well, didn't they know that's my pew? Friend, listen to me. What do you come, to sit in your pew or to worship God? What a shame. When it's more about my pew, about worshiping our God. What a shame. What a shame. We need to be careful. Because in humility, we'll be glad when someone else sits in our spot. Praise the Lord. I can be a blessing. It's not your pew anyway. As far as I know, pastor hadn't sold pews in the church. Yeah. As far as I know, some churches do that. They put their names on it and whatnot, but haven't seen any names on the pew. You see, we give out of the good, you know, as the Lord blesses, we give to God, and that's the way it should be. But be careful. Prefer and honor. I'm sure it's happened. You pull in the parking lot. All of a sudden, the brother in front of you whips into the parking lot that you consider was going to be yours. And you heard about the church that was split because of the chicken drum, right? They, you know, somebody got the fried chicken, and Good Baptist held it up and said, I was foreordained before the foundation of the world to consume this chicken leg. And somebody reached over and picked it up and ate it. Well, that's kind of messed up, because if it was preordained before the okay, predestination from that sense, wrong. But anyway, the silly things we hold to just because we prefer ourselves in honor rather than honoring our brothers and sisters in Christ. And friends, the Bible tells me when one suffers, all suffer. When another's glad, all should be glad. That's what the Bible says. But how often we get jealous. Oh, goodness, brother so-and-so got him a new car. I wish I had me a new car. You stingy thing. You proud thing. Why don't you say, God, thank you for showing yourself great for my brother. Thank you for being faithful to provide. And God, I don't know when or where, but whenever you see fit, we trust you're going to provide for us too. But we sure are tickled that so-and-so is happy. We're really sad. You say, well, that's such a petty thing. They should be more mature than that to get all fussing over that. Well, why don't you pray for them? And why don't you be sad when they're sad? Why don't you hold them up before the Savior? Many times we don't do it, I believe, because we consider ourselves righteous. But we're just a little step above that family or this family. After all, we've been here for so many years, and our kids now are serving the Lord in that family. They have some struggling kids, and, well, we're not better. We're not better. We have a responsibility to our brother to be praying for their family, too. Now, friends, when we realize and we walk in humility, God is glorified through our lives. First of all, pride distorts reality. Second of all, pride destroys relationships. Thirdly and lastly, pride delays reward. If you would, go back to Deuteronomy. Thirdly, pride delays reward. Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would. Chapter 6, 7, and 8, we find some really clear instructions on, and actually, the larger part of Deuteronomy, Moses instructing and reminding and stating how the children should be taught and why it was that God picked the children of Israel. It wasn't because they were of a great number, but because the Lord loved them. Notice chapter 7, verse 8, and if you found chapter 8, it's just right on the other page. Notice he says, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, which Hath the Lord brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the house of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Now, therefore, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth his covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Notice verse 1 of chapter 8, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice the next three words. To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You see, even in the wilderness, the whole purpose of that was to humble those people, to get them to realize, you need me. You need. I'm supplying the bread that you don't even know where it comes from. I'm the one that provides it. If you read on down, he says the sandals on your feet didn't wear out. Why is that? Because I took care of you. And God did that to humble his people. Now, get this. Last point. Pride delays reward. For 40 years, the people wandered in the wilderness, being humbled by God. Now, friends, God's going to get the glory. He will be glorified. Sooner or later, he will be glorified. And if it means he has to bring you low in order to be glorified, he will get the glory sooner or later. But listen, there's rewards that he wants to give to each and every Christian who is obedient to his word. He wants to bless us. He wants to provide us. He wants to bless our family. And friend, he will do that as long as we humble ourselves before him and say, God, I need you today. Today, man, I've lost track of the days. What, April the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th? Today, April the 8th, I need my Lord. On Monday, April the 9th, I'm going to get my family together. We're going to read. We're going to depend upon our God. We're going to pray. We're going to walk humbly before God. You know what? We're going to get home. We're not going to criticize what we saw at church. The other families. Did you see how so-and-so dressed? That was so ridiculous and this and that. How often we go home and we just criticize instead of talking about what God has done in our midst? What a shame. You see, we need to humble ourselves. Say, God, I need you. I need you. My family needs you. And our church needs you. And friends, God's blessings will continue to be poured out on our church as long as we walk humbly before our God. Whenever we start exalting ourselves and thinking, you know what? We're a great church. I mean, just look at all these banners. Man, just look at all the prayer letters and all the missionaries. What a privilege to look out and see missionaries here tonight. The Ashleys, the Westenbergers, the Samples. And I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody. But man, what a blessing to be part of a church who wants to reach the world for Christ. Friends, we can't lose that. We've got to keep on going, but we'll only keep on going if we'll humble ourselves before God. You want to see God give us a great year? Is if each one will be challenged tonight to humble ourselves before God and just to look and depend upon God. Let's pray. Let's seek God's face. You know, it's not by accident that when the temple was dedicated, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and with this I'll close tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You know, I want my girls to see God working in Madison Baptist. I want my grandkids to see God still working in Madison Baptist Church. You know, if God allows me, I'd like to see my great-grandkids serving God in Madison Baptist Church. So, Brother Charlie, don't you know that the church is usually a pastor, two pastors, the most, and they go wild, liberal.
You know what? You know what my Bible says? If we keep on walking with God humbly, God will continue to bless us. And God will continue to use us. And God will continue to guide us. And God will continue to use our children to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Notice verse number 11. He says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his house he prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land." Now, friends, this, I believe, is applicable to us. You see, God's saying, if I shut up, if I, then if you humble yourself, then if you pray, then if you turn from your wicked way. Do you feel kind of cold and distant from God? Are there certain things in your life that just kind of separating? Friend, listen, tonight, humble yourself before Him and say, "Father, You're right. I'm wrong. I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of fighting, and I'm going to yield myself to You in humility. And God, I want to see my family serving You. I want to see my kids. I want to see my grandkids. I want to see my brothers and sisters in Christ walking in victory and commit ourselves to walk humbly before God." And I realize the message was mainly for saved people tonight. It wasn't a very dynamic message, but that's what God gave me. And listen, I challenged our church with it. I've challenged them because I started noticing, hey, all of a sudden we're not so excited about visitors coming in. All of a sudden we're not excited about those people that we would, they're not us, coming through the door. And it's kind of like, "Oh, hi, how are you?" "I hope they don't sit by me." Yeah, that happens. We do that. Now, I know we're a friendly church, but listen, we need to keep on being a friendly church. We need to keep on humbling ourselves. And God will keep on using this church for His honor and for His glory. And friends, what a blessing. What a blessing. Many times we forget, but all across the world, actually tonight, the Word, the Gospel is being preached. And we have a part in that. We have a part in that. Not for our glory, but our glory should be given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you walk humbly tonight? And I realize as I preach that, man, it's a hard thing to preach. Because many times it's like, "Lord, am I walking humbly?" And all of a sudden I get upset at just some petty things that I think, well, you know, bless God, listen, humble ourselves and God will use us. And friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, humble yourself before Him. Admit, recognize your sin. Confess it. Repent of your sin. And trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can leave here knowing that heaven is your final home. Your destination for all eternity. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Started out in James, didn't finish up in James. James tells us, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. How many of you tonight would say, "Brother Charlie, I, as a parent, I need to walk humbly before God. Would you pray for me that God will help me to walk humbly before Him?" How many would raise your hands? Say, "Brother Charlie, pray for me." Amen, amen. My hand's raised also. How many teenagers would say, "Brother Charlie, would you pray for me? I need to humble myself. I need to obey my parents. I need to listen to the authority that God has placed in my life. Would you pray for me?" Are there any young people that would say that? Amen. 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 Several young people.
can lower your hands. Would there be anybody that would say, Brother Charlie, during the preaching, the Lord showed me I'm not saved, but I'd like to know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Brother Charlie, pray for me. I'm not saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see our hands. I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help every parent, every young person that raised their hands. Father, I pray that as members of church that we'd humble ourselves and that we'd just serve you faithfully for your honor and for your glory. And that, Father, for many years ahead, you might still use us as a people, as a church, to love people and to love your word and to obey you as we walk with you humbly. Please bless our pastor. Bless him tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.